Thank you. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text selected for today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning reading at the 18th verse. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in my opinion, there is nothing that more clearly defines the American character than the legend of Johnny Appleseed. And so it was in 1774. A little boy was born in Massachusetts. He grew up on a farmstead, and as a youth, he just loved to be out with the apple trees. He loved the apples. He ate the apples. He would pick them, polish them, and sell them to people who were walking by. He would collect the seeds and dry them. He would press the apples into cider. He just loved apples. And when he was old enough, he set out west into the wilderness. And there, out in the wilderness, he cleared entire forests. He cut down the trees all by himself, and he planted apple orchards. The idea was that there would be some people moving west, some settlers, and as they moved into the wilderness, they would find the apple trees and have something to eat so they could start a life for themselves. Well, in the legend of Johnny Appleseed, he became a close friend to all of the Indians and to all of the animals. He healed an injured wolf, and that became his pet. He had a hammock that was hanging up there in the treetop so he could commune with the birds. He walked around barefoot, summer and winter, and his feet got so calloused that he couldn't even feel the cold from the snow underneath his feet. And one time, a terrible snake bit him on the foot, but his calluses were so thick that the fangs couldn't even penetrate and hurt him at all. He cleared the forests all the way from Massachusetts to Texas. Anyway, that's the American spirit. We are rugged individualists. We can boldly go where no man has gone before. We can overcome every single obstacle by the sheer strength of our will. We are heroic figures. We absolutely are. We depend on none and we serve all. That's the American way. That's the American dream. We should be really proud of ourselves. But you know, it's this kind of an attitude which sinks into so many people's thoughts when it comes to spiritual matters as well. Somehow they think that they can be responsible for their own salvation. They see themselves as the masters of their own fate and the captains of their own soul. Nothing is impossible for rugged individualists like us. Well, let's just see if this attitude really is realistic when it comes to salvation and our relationship to God. So let's go way back to the time of Adam and Eve in the garden before there was ever sin. God and man were one. They were in harmony with each other, I mean. There was no gulf that separated Adam and Eve from the Almighty Creator God. But then Adam and Eve sinned, and they created this great distance, this expanse, separating themselves from God. That gulf is, of course, brought on by sin. Up there in heaven, we have a sinless God, and down here on earth, we have sinful human beings. And even as day and night are not compatible, neither are we compatible with a sinless God, since we are sinful creatures. So let's try to look at this realistically. How can we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and reach the way to heaven all on our own through effort and sheer will. Well, let's say for a moment that those ceiling fans up there on the ceiling, that's heaven. And that's where our sinless Creator God is. And of course, we are down here on earth. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, in your mind, mind you, is to stand up and jump and reach heaven. Stand up and jump and reach those ceiling fans. Now, some of you are taller than others, so you have a little bit of an advantage. I saw on TV the other day that there's a professional basketball player that has a 56-inch vertical leap. So he can go up 4.5 feet higher than his own height. So let's say you could get up there 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 feet, 10 feet. You think you can touch that ceiling fan? I don't think so, because the expanse is too great. But there's another problem, and that is the gravity keeps pulling you right back down. Well, when it comes to spiritual matters, that gravity is the gravity of our own sins, the weight of our own iniquities upon us. We're taught in our culture that we can do everything, so people get it in their minds that they can earn their own salvation and way up to heaven, but there's still the weight of sin which separates us from God. But what we little people could not do for ourselves, and that is earn our way to heaven, God has done for us. Since we couldn't reach up there, He has reached down to us. And so Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, went from heaven to earth to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, to be righteous in our place. He didn't go just 15 minutes without a sinful thought. He went 33 and a half years without a sinful thought. Jesus Christ didn't go one day without a slip of the lips and a bad word. He went throughout his entire life without a bad word. He didn't go for 1 week without a sinful action or deed. He went through a lifetime without a sinful action or deed. So you see, there was no gravity of sin pulling him down, separating him from the Father in heaven. And what he has done is he has transferred to us sinners his sinlessness. So it is as if it were our own in the eyes of God. So we can be with a sinless God, even though we are sinners, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But what did he do with our sins? He took the gravity of our sins, everyone's gravity, upon himself. And he bore that weight on Calvary's cross. And so there is a cross that connects us to heaven so that we might be with our Heavenly Father. That's what our text is really talking about. It says that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, isn't that something? We live in a world filled with little Johnny Appleseed type characters who think they can conquer the wilderness and they can do everything and they can be the captains of their own fates and souls. They don't realize that they are still pulled down constantly and chronically by sin and separated from God. But we know the truth. And the truth is what Jesus has done for us. It's not a legend, it's reality. And God has entrusted us with that message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Christ has given us this ministry of reconciliation, the true account that every single human being needs to hear. And so we proclaim it loudly and clearly for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We pray that you would be with us. Keep us this day, Lord, without sin. Send the Holy Spirit into our hearts that we might truly be witnesses in a sinful world to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we are now in our midterm exam time, be with each and every one of us. Let us take our tasks seriously and do all that we do, both taking exams and grading exams, to the glory of your holy name. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.